SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number three, our third and final on this glorious Thursday, live right here on the Early Line. It is the round of 64 at the 2025 Men's NCAA Tournament, where the big dance in all of the madness fully begins. We have 16 games on this Thursday. The first tips between Creighton and Louisville in Lexington, Kentucky at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Our final game between Texas Tech and UNC Wilmington, I believe in Wichita, tipping a little bit after 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That is the schedule for right now. But what it means, 16 games in about 13 straight hours of NCAA tournament action in college basketball. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Yeah. We continue to get you set for everything you will see around the big dance. We will break down all 16 games as we have throughout our opening 2 hours on this Thursday. And of course, DRS, before we go, a pick six to break down the entirety of the bracket. Cinderella teams, round of 64 best bets, and of course the teams that we expect to see cutting down the nets in San Antonio 19 days from now on a Monday night in the Alamo Dome. So much to get to here in this third and final hour.
Time is ticking on the brackets right now. As you see, 10 a.m. East Coast time. In about 2 hours' time, we're going to have games underway. Moneyline Cuz come up after this show. And then I believe Pro Football Does Full it? Circle with Joe Lisi comes in right after that, talking a lot of football. Is that correct? Did I get that correct today? No? Yes?
So first off, just so you know, a lot of times we talk college football and football full circle as well. Yeah. That is off the air today, as starting at noon Eastern time. On. Sports Grid's Bracket Central for round of 64 coverage does begin. It will be myself and the coach, James Young, Jay Watt. When are you next in studio, DRS? When do you start your Bracket Central coverage? Friday night, right? Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow, 7 to 10, the boys will be there. The lounge will be all set up. We won't be at the desk. It'll be real comfortable, so get ready. I don't know. I'm just trying to will that to victory right now. That's what I'm doing.
I hope Live so mics, for you. If
real clean. Yep, love it.
Yeah, no headsets. Donnie's got two earbuds Nothing. In. He's feeling good. I will say this, though. I love working with DRS each and every day. Yeah. There is nothing quite like, though, being with Donnie Wrightside in studio, in person, for when you are watching an NCAA tournament game. Some of the reserve nature starts to pop off a little bit as he is rooting on and cheering home his bets. It is going to be great theater with you, Lisi, and Kev, the three-man weave tomorrow.
I mean, has Lisa even watched the college basketball this game? What's he even doing on that set at this point? Question. So, you know, we'll try to carry him. We'll try to carry the guy through. We'll be all right. We'll have a good time, the boys in the studio.
I think that guy is our lead college basketball handicapper on the network as of late. He is all over crypto smash diamond play under Purdue and High Point 152 and a half. I think he got some intel from a certain host on this show. I won't name names. It's me. All right, let's look at the big favorites on this Thursday in the round of 64 and who we expect to not just win, of course, but to comfortably cover their large margin. We'll do that by hearing from all of you as we get ready for the round of 64. It's time now for Fade the Public. A couple of the one seeds in the fold today, including the number one overall seed in the Auburn Tigers. Houston out there as well, taking on SIU, and a couple of two seeds that are a hefty favorite as well. St. John's in its opening round matchup against Omaha. Tennessee in its opening round matchup against Wofford, who pulled off the upset in the SoCon tournament title game to be here in the big dance. Everybody that we list, DRS, at least an 18.5 point favorite, nearing 20 points. We even have an Auburn team that's laying more than 30 against Alabama State, who won in dramatic fashion near buzzer beater on Tuesday night in Dayton, Ohio. So of those four hefty favorites on this Thursday, who is the best bet to actually cover a number? Is it Auburn, 31.5-point favorite against the Hornets? Is it Houston against SIU Edwardsville, the champions out of the Ohio Valley, 28.5-point spread? Is it the Johnnies, 18.5-point favorite against Omaha, or the Volunteers, 18.5-point favorite against the Terriers from Wofford? Most of the public, DRS, back in St. John's as an 18.5-point favorite against the Mavericks, nearly 37% of the vote. But second most, that would be Houston to win comfortably against SIUE.
Yeah, there's no surprise that you're looking at two teams, like let's just say St. John's and Tennessee under 20 points. That's where your eyes go. Like, okay, they can win by 20, level up in competition. Also, all four of these teams, defensive mavens here. And when you talk about they're not stepping up in competition, the teams they're playing are stepping up in competition, stepping up to see the best in the country on defense, that's going to be a problem. My vote went towards Houston at -28.5. And it's not the fact that it's like, man, they got to win by 30 points for you to cover. It's me getting the optics of, is there a chance that SIUE has 6 points with 6 minutes to go in the first half? I'm not saying that's going to be the case. That'd be crazy, crazy defense by Houston.
Right.
But my ability to watch a basketball team and say, can they actually score at this team? And what's the calling card of that said team? Just absolutely locking you down. That's why I went Houston. Now, granted, the difference between Houston and St. John's is they're both really good teams and 10 points in margin. But for me, I can see Houston putting on one of those shows. Like, is that like a college football score? 37-12 at the half at this point, where one of these teams just absolutely blowing the other one out. That's the way I look at it, and that's why I went with Houston. But honestly, Auburn, St. John's, and Tennessee, all legitimate chances to absolutely blow the doors off their opponents. But I'm just looking at one of those teams that really should struggle on offense, probably SIUE there.
Yeah, and Donnie, that's really what it comes down to. Brian Barone has done a great job in his sixth year bringing SIUE to its first ever NCAA tournament as a D1 program, the champions of the Ohio Valley, the first team to book a ticket to the big dance. They have been waiting for a while. Offensively, they're not all that effective. They're not all that efficient. And when you're playing the best defense in the country, one of the three best defenses in the country, it is going to be difficult to muster up that offense. And when you look at Houston, DRS, they are a team that has reached the big dance 7 consecutive years. Under Kelvin Sampson, who has completely reinvigorated this program, the Cougs have made it at least to the Sweet 16 5 straight years. Last year as the 1 seed in the national championship favorite, or right around that line with UConn, Houston was a 1 seed, and they took on a team, let me just make sure I have this correctly, took on Longwood, a team in Longwood who was maybe expected to give a run because they could play at an up-tempo pace. Houston said, nah, we'll win this game by 40. The first 40-point margin in the big dance in nearly a decade. I looked at SIU Edwardsville team total, maybe leaning toward an under as well. It's 52.5, a little bit low for my blood, just because they could score 55 and Houston could still cover this number rather comfortably. I do think SIUE is up against it. That got my vote as well. I will say this, though, DRS, as we look at these games. Auburn, 31.5-point favorite against Alabama State. The Tigers, of course, trying to erase that sour taste in their mouth. Yeah. I bet Auburn to cover the first half against Ole Miss in their first SEC tourney game, dropping their final two regular season games. They did by the hook, did not cover the game overall. I haven't looked into the first half number. My guess would be 17.5, 18.5. How do you think Auburn comes out against Alabama State, knowing the narrative that they have dropped 3 of their last 4, not playing their best basketball?
Yeah, I don't think there's any added incentive, really, because I do hear that some, but like, oh, they're going to be really chomping at the bit. They'd be chomping at the bit if they played like Tennessee right off the bat. But the fact that they understand it's going to be an easy victory, just go out there, play good basketball, get out of Dodge with the victory at that point. But I am interested to see what Alabama State does, because we talked about they don't turn the basketball over, which if they were just crazy and turning it over, who knows what that final score could be. I'm interested to see what that first half would be with Alabama State.
19.5, first half line in favor of the Tigers. More on the early line comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The opening day of the Big Dance in full. It is the Thursday at the round of 64 for the 2025 Men's NCAA Tournament. And for some tourney talk and a bracket breakdown, we are very pleased to welcome on Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports, joining us live on this Thursday morning on TEL to celebrate one of the greatest days you will see each and every year. Jason, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here to get us ready for the Big Dance on this Thursday.
Yeah, I just think, guys, let's start right out of the gate by reminding everybody, none of us are brilliant with the tournament. We're all trying our best. When you are in a sports bar today and your buddy tells you he's on a heater, he's probably not, and it's probably going to end. So yeah, I'm just helping everybody from three drinks in, and, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, realizing that, man, now I'm chasing 15 things with 15 people. It's a bad feeling.
Your bracket can be done. You can rip it up. You can still hit some bets. If your buddy's on a heater, fade that very next pick, whatever it looks like. So, Jason, let's start with those national championship odds, the big picture outlook for the entirety of the Big Dance. I'm sure many people started to fill out their brackets this week and were like, what am I doing? Ending up with all four one seeds in the Final Four, which has only ever happened once in the tournament way back in 2008. But the top four seeds, as you see it there, the four shortest prices to win a national championship. Jason, do you think everybody on the one line is actually capable of that, cutting down the nets as a national title winner?
Yes, but I also think that a bunch of these teams on the twos are also, like, this is a ones and twos tournament to me. So as much as I do agree, look at the way Florida went through the SEC tournament, I think they deserved a better seed. I think they deserved a higher one. They should have been in a bracket that it wasn't murderer's row out of the gate. So, like, look, some of these teams, I think these ones are really poised. But Michigan State, when you look at the way that that bracket falls for them, there's a very real possibility in my mind that Michigan State can be playing for a championship. St. John's, I mean, I'm looking forward to St. John's versus Florida. If we get to that point, don't sleep on Tennessee taking on Houston. So I think some of these two seeds, Auburn injury issues make me a little bit more concerned, but I'm pretty comfortable with any of the ones or the twos, and that makes up most of my Elite Eight and Final Four.
Yeah, most people are looking at Jason, that top four, and say, because Ben and I have done this dance all week long, saying, my goodness, like, who's going to knock these teams out? So the simple question for me is, if we look at those top four seeds, Duke, Florida, Auburn, and Houston, to you, who is the most vulnerable seed, number one, to get knocked out first?
Yeah, I think Auburn, just because a couple of things that are interesting on Auburn. They hit a wall at the end of the season. No team in men's basketball history has ever lost three of their last four and then gone on to win the national championship. But part of that, I think, is just watch those SEC games. They started to get a little figured out, and Auburn's too old for that. I love this metric they keep showing us, that Auburn's average age is about the same as Oklahoma City in the NBA, right? This is an old college basketball team that seems like they lost their legs towards the end of the season. Doesn't make a lot of sense. As everyone says, well, it's the SEC and iron sharpens iron. That's just what happens. Okay, well, you're going to get to the spot here where you're going to have to take on a Michigan team possibly that won the Big Ten, and I think surprised a lot of people in the way they did that. And then, again, a Michigan State team. Like, I think this road for Auburn ends, best case scenario, ends against Michigan State.
Number one overall seed, but did not get any favors at the top half of that South region. A Louisville team that ranks 10th in the AP poll and yet is on the eight line could be awaiting the Tigers in the round of 32. Let's talk individual big picture as well. Jason Duke, the national championship favorite. So, of course, the best player on the title favorites is going to be the favorite to win the most outstanding player. That, of course, is Cooper Flagg. We expect to see him right away in the round of 64 as Duke will take on Mount St. Mary's tomorrow on a Friday afternoon. But let's start with Cooper Flagg's health. What do you anticipate the strategy to be for John Shire when it comes to his best player on the floor?
Yeah, I think we're going to get limited minutes in the first game and then see when he comes back in and how he feels. Guys, the biggest concern I have here too is, remember, nobody touched him. He didn't land on anybody. He landed on an already taped ankle, and it rolled on him. So now my biggest concern is when we get to this situation where it's 24 hours between games, how's that ankle going to feel? That's why when you start talking about most outstanding player, as much as I do believe for Duke to win a national championship, Cooper is going to have to be Cooper Flagg. He's going to have to be everything we've seen, and that makes him a great candidate for most outstanding player. But if you look at the way Duke played when he was out and the effectiveness and the importance of Con Knipple, you want to talk about a sneaky pick for a most outstanding player. If you believe Duke is going to win the championship and you're concerned about Cooper Flagg's health, then Knipple becomes the name to watch to me, because he certainly will be the person that Duke relies on.
Yeah, a lot of great basketball players listed on there. And certainly if the championship is Duke, it's probably going to be Cooper Flagg that actually gets that if he is healthy. Same thing with Jahni Broome there for Auburn. But if we take a look at a game matchup today, we're having some fun in Providence. And I know we want to get to Arkansas and Kansas. Kansas is the favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook, -4.5 points. Lining this game up, Boogie Fland coming back into action here for Arkansas. Jason, how's it set up for you today between Arkansas and Kansas?
So look, this both of these teams are offensively challenged, to say it politely at times. I like the under in this one because of that. Mm-hmm. But the other part of this is, okay, how do you get buckets when you need buckets? I think the referees make a massive difference in this game, because when Arkansas can't score, they love to get aggressive and just try and create contact to get to the free throw line. They got to the free throw line the 13th most in the NCAA this year, right? So what does that mean? Well, that now all of a sudden I'm looking at how are the refs calling that game when you know that Kansas's most important player is going to be standing in the middle of the lane. I feel like foul trouble could be a huge part of this. Arkansas, I think, wins an ugly basketball game that is the under because of that. If refs are calling this tight, this is going to be ugly. Take the under in my mind. Take Arkansas.
Yeah, Kansas has not been a great shooting team this year. The preseason number one might be ousted in its very first game in the big dance. All right, Jason Fitz, we have told people, be skeptical of your buddy on a heater. It is a very long day. We have 13 consecutive hours of college basketball. But if you were to text the group chat and tell your buddies your best bet for round of 64 Thursday, what game would it be, and what is that wager?
Oh, man. Man, the games, look, we're taking out the heavy favorites. I'm looking at it here. Let me see. The best bet of all of these, I'm so nervous about this. Michigan's the best bet. Michigan was underseeded at 5. They should have been at 3. I'll put some tasty money on Michigan in that one. And by the way, I think Michigan has the chance to go in all the way into the Elite Eight. I think Michigan can actually take down Auburn.
Jason Fitz, I'll tell you this. I know your buddy is on UC San Diego, because everybody seems to be picking the 12 over the 5 in that matchup. Him. Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports joining us here on this round of 64 Thursday. Jason, thank you so much, and we appreciate the time. Plenty more on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Come your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now it is time to truly get you ready for the big dance. As we make sense of the madness and we paint the path through a bracket. As we do, here on the Early Line, what is one of our staples? It is not the tummy. It's the pick six for the 2025 men's NCAA tournament. From the mind of Donnie Wrightside and my noggin as well, a national championship pick who will lose to them in that national title game 19 days from now on a Monday night, April 7th in San Antonio, Texas. Thus, the most outstanding player coming from that national title winner, a Cinderella team that can win a couple of games not expected to in the NCAA tournament. One of the specials available on the FanDuel Sportsbook with a sprinkle of plus money and a round one best bet for this round of 64 Thursday, live right here on the Early Line. DRS, what did you make that noise for? Was there something I said, or are you just really excited? I don't know, you made a noise to grow. Hey, I go, hey, oh,
I don't know.
Kind of.
Sometimes I just do it, you know, in South Philly. Yeah, hey, sometimes. Yo, Adrian. I mean, I don't know. What are we doing? You know, sometimes you got to yell it out the window.
Yeah, that is very, very good. All right, DRS, let's start at the very top. It is 19 days. It is 63 games in total. It is a tournament. Trying to be at your best if you are going to be the best. To cut down the nets for 6 nights in late March into early April. Who do you think will do just that as a national champion this year in men's college basketball?
I'm trusting the Duke Blue Devils. And of course, like, well, why are you trusting? Well, yeah, they're the favorites to actually win it. So how much trust do we have to actually put in it? But also, the price point, not fantastic, but if they are going to win, hey, the price point, it is what it is. It's going to cash, because I look at the Duke Blue Devils during the regular season and say, yes, one of the best teams here. And Flag goes down, and they still had enough moxie to win the game he went down, win the following game, and then win the ACC championship game, and then get Cooper Flag back. So you got enough, a lot of the players to shine outside the absence of their best player. There was a calming influence here. Don't panic. We'll win this. We'll be just fine. That's exactly what happened. And also, taking the seeding here, you look for me. Obviously, they're going to win game number one against Mount St. Mary's. I think they're going to beat Baylor and or Mississippi State. And then I have them lining up against Arizona, who they will get a punch from an athletic team, but I think they're better. And then Alabama in the Elite Eight is really the first elite competition that they're going to face. So in order to win a national championship, you got to get to the Final Four and the final. I just like the way it sets up for the Duke Blue Devils here. And for me, it's, well, Donnie's picking the favorite in the competition. Well, if I think they're the best team, price notwithstanding, that's who I picked here. And that's who I went with, the Duke Blue Devils, cutting it down.
DRS, as we have said many times, you and I have examined this bracket. We have looked at the paths to get to an Elite Eight, to get to a Final Four in San Antonio. And it does feel chalky at times because we have so many elite teams on the one line. You see it represented in the national championship odds. Everybody that is a one seed, 6-1 or shorter. Everybody else, triple those numbers, add on a buck. It's where you get to Alabama, the shortest team as a two seed in this tournament. And I do believe it bears repeating because maybe you are crystallizing and finalizing your bracket right now. Maybe you filled it out on Tuesday night or yesterday and you felt a little bit chalky. You felt a little bit scared because you had so many one seeds into the Final Four. Maybe you had all four, which has only happened once in the history of the Big Dance, way back in 2008. But everybody on the one line has a KenPom net rating of plus 35 or better. What does that mean? Well, they're really, really good basketball teams. We have seen three teams in total in the last 20 years. Three teams over a 20-year span in total have a net rating of plus 35 or better. We've got four teams in this single year all on the one line. So there does give some credence to the idea that, yes, it is chalky, and yes, we have rarely ever seen it. But if ever there were a Big Dance for it, it might be right now, which leads me to my national championship pick on the opposite end of the bracket. Donnie will have this team taking on the Blue Devils inside the Alamo Dome. I have this team winning it. Florida at a plus 360 price to win the NCAA tournament. I believe the Gators have shown you at various different spots this year they are the best team in college basketball. They have maybe the best pair of wins this year in college hoops. A road win in Tuscaloosa, a road win on the plains in Auburn. I bet Florida in early February at an 11-1 number. I love where things stand right now. It is a highly competitive West region. I think it is the toughest draw of any of our one seeds. I just think Florida is the toughest team to get out of the Big Dance. Florida cuts down the nets. We continue to go through the pick six. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Big Dance officially underway in full on this Thursday. It is the round of 64 at the 2025 Men's NCAA Tournament. And as we continue to get you ready and try to make sense of all the madness that we see, not only the action that we have previewed all 16 games here on this show, but how we see the tournament playing out, what our brackets look like, and what the wagers will be every step of the way. Donnie, our national champions, we believe will play in that national title game in San Antonio. I've got Florida winning it all. You have Duke knocking off the Gators. Why are you confident Florida emerges out of the West region and to that national title game?
Just how really good they have been, specifically over the second half of the season, and playing in the toughest conference in basketball and handling their business, getting some of the biggest wins of the season on their resume, which means they're battle-tested, and they need to be battle-tested. You take a look at that West bracket, game number two, they should still win, obviously, because of the higher seed and the better team over Connecticut and or, let's just say, Oklahoma. But after that, you're taking a look at, for me, like playing the Crab Five of Maryland. That's a really good ball club here that you're going to get. Then if you advance, let's just say it's St. John's and or Texas Tech at that point. That's another elite victory before you even get to the final.
Getting the winning edge.
leagues and the SEC, sharpening those knives all year long, you got to have a lot of detriments there. But I still think they have the talent to get to the final and certainly win the final. But I took Duke in that final in a close game by 4 points. I just think Duke's the better overall team. But Florida would be no surprise for me, and rightfully so, in the obviously numbers that we're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook for them to win it are quite low. Florida and Duke just make a lot of sense. Two heavyweights making their way through, and what a final. If it meets up and goes that way, it would be.
Two of the shortest national championship prices right now, but again, DRS, it is hard to fault. We have talked about how historically good the top of the NCAA tournament field is. The cream rises to the top in the big dance. 13 of the last 17 national champions have been a one seed. 4 of the last 5, a one seed. The only team in the last 5 years that was not was Connecticut as a 4 seed now 2 years ago. And Donnie, when you really think about how the madness plays out, it does really track. There are also some trends outside of that in terms of just being on the one line and how historically good this year's crop of one seeds is that really carries over, that favors both Duke and Florida. I mentioned my Gators price at 11-1 to win the national championship bet back in February. I also have a small sprinkle on a Duke number at the time of a 4-1 price, because 19 of the last 20 national title winners, top 25 adjusted offensive efficiency on KenPom. 16 of the last 20, top 25 adjusted defensive efficiency. 20 of the last 20. Yeah, every single one has been ranked inside the top 12 of the Week 6 AP poll. 5 teams enter the big dance, hitting all of those qualifications. Our 2 national championship picks in Duke, in Florida, Auburn, Iowa State, in Tennessee, the group of 5. So keep an eye on those numbers. DRS, I have Duke in my Final Four. It pains me to say that as such, but I have Houston with the veteran presence commanding the defensive end of the floor, beating Duke in San Antonio, playing Florida in the national championship game, but the Gators' offense, defense, and pace a little bit too much for the Cougs. If you have Duke winning a national championship, who is the most outstanding player in your mind?
Yeah, going to be simple. And also, you know, if Duke is going to make it that far to play Houston, that probably means Cooper Flagg's really healthy and ready to go in that game, which would be a great sign for the Duke Blue Devils, which means if I have Duke winning the national championship, that means he probably played really well against Houston and really well against Florida. And he cuts down the Nets along with Duke at a plus 370 price as the MOP. It's just a strictly a correlation. Is it one like, hey, Donnie, want to take Con Knipple to actually do that? I mean, look, he can score, we understand. But if the point man is going to be Con Knipple and not Cooper Flagg, that means Cooper Flagg's probably a little bit injured, which means Duke might not be as effective as they would be with a completely healthy Cooper Flagg. I'm betting on the opposite. Yeah. Duke's going to be good. So is Cooper Flagg. They win it. He gets it.
Yeah, DRS, it's a great thought. It's a natural thought, right? But I also do believe it presents you a little bit of a better price at plus 360 for Cooper Flagg to win most outstanding player. Can you win the NCAA tournament if Cooper Flagg is not your most outstanding player, even if he's healthy? Perhaps, because it really comes down to just the Final Four. If Cooper Flagg is great in the Final Four game, and so is Con Knipple, but Con Knipple has a slightly better national championship game, could it go to Knipple? Maybe, right? But it makes sense from that natural correlation to have the best player on the national championship winning team winning MOP. For instance, last year, Tristan Newton won the award for Connecticut, their Swiss Army knife. He wasn't the lottery pick. That was Steph Castle. That was Donovan Clingan. It could be somebody else. More than likely, it is going to be that star player. So it wouldn't make a lot of sense for Donnie to pick Duke and tell you somebody from Alabama. It wouldn't make a lot of sense for me to pick Florida and tell you somebody from St. John's. Walter Clayton Jr. is my pick to win MOP. He is Florida's best player. He is the guy that does it all in the backcourt. In winning guard play, wins in the month of March into early April. There's a lot of great players. Will Richard is fantastic. Alex Condon, the 6'11 Aussie who can do it all, great. For Todd Golden's Gators, if they're going to win a national championship, to me, it is Walter Clayton Jr. I do want to make this final point, though, DOS, about those MLP odds. Again, it is just the Final Four. It's not a guy that led his team to the Elite Eight and had a sensational tournament, scoring 35-plus in every game. That won't matter. We'll remember him as a March legend, but that won't matter to cashing a ticket and winning this wager. So I will just say, If there is a team that you think gets to the Final Four, if there is a team perhaps you have a higher outlook on than most, it would also make sense to look at their best individual, to look at their best player, because you really can find some juicy plus money sprinkles in the most outstanding player numbers.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you're trying to level. And the worst beat you could possibly have is picking Houston Cougars to win the national championship and then going like, yeah, oh, well, I picked the wrong player who stepped up at the right time in the Final Four. It's the same thing when you talk about the Duke Blue Devils. Like, yeah, the price point is a little bit better, but my goodness, if Knipple wins, you're like, what did I do? Like, I knew Duke was going to win. Why didn't I just take that here? But there are some other chances, like way down. We talked about Mark Sears and the Alabama Crimson Tide, where you're getting an unbelievable price point at that point. So some things are there to factor in at this point. But the one thing you do know is don't overly confuse yourself. Best player on the best team is typically going to win this, even if they really weren't the best team in the Final Four and or the championship game. As long as they were close, you always get the benefit of the doubt with the best player, too.
For sure, DRS. Like St. John's, for instance, a 29-1 price to win a national championship. That is value in itself because they are the 2 seed in the West region, and they're at a 29-1 number. Again, speaking to the strength of those 4 teams on the one line, but R.J. Lewis Jr., the Big East Player of the Year, and maybe the Johnny's most important, although you could argue that's Kadari Richmond, is 75-1. Even in explaining that, it kind of makes sense just to bat the Johnny's there at a 29-1 number. One of the great things about this tournament, defined by its chaos, is the Cinderella runs it allows. 3 of the last 6 years, the RS, an 11 seed has made the Final Four. So I am very proud of both of us picking our Cinderella on the 11 line. You first, my friend.
Yep, going 11. And the definition for me for a Cinderella is not actually making it all the way to the Final Four. It's winning 2 games here as a double-digit seed, which means you're going to be upsetting teams. VCU has a legitimate chance to beat a quality BYU team. They win that, you know they take on next? Another really good team in Wisconsin. But styles make fights, and VCU fits like a glove with both of these teams. Now, they're not as talented as either one of these teams, but I think the matchup makes sense, and that's what a Cinderella is. Matchups make sense. They're not as talented here. The little engine that could, VCU should be able to be to win 2 games. They qualify for me as my Cinderella team here, and the Cinderella story starts today. Come on, VCU. Don't let your boy down. Don't let me down.
Completely agree, DRS. And it doesn't have to be a Cinderella long shot at a 300-1 price to win a national championship. If in your bracket you have VCU to the Sweet 16, that's a 2-leg money line parlay or a plus 340 price on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You can find those sweet plus money numbers even just to get to the second weekend. Mine's on the opposite end of the bracket in the West region. That would be the Drake Bulldogs, a plus 960 price now to reach the Sweet 16. A difficult draw for Drake that starts today with a game that is receiving a ton of public attention. We'll continue to break down the bracket next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our Cinderella runs throughout the 2025 men's NCAA tournament, both Donnie Wrightside and myself looking at a team as an 11 seed that can at least win a couple of games and get to the second weekend. Donnie likes VCU, a very talented team, the champions of the A-10 in the East region. Donnie, the two matchups that would be in the Rams' way, starting on this Thursday against BYU, and then more than likely Wisconsin, if the Badgers can get by Montana, really favor the Rams. And we have talked a lot about the three-point shooting for both VCU, BYU, and let's add in the Badgers into this mix. The one thing, Wisconsin's good on the defensive end, BYU not great. VCU is the best defense in limiting effective field goal percentage for its opponents. They're shooting worse than 45% this year. That is the best nationally. The Rams are a really well-coached team led by Ryan Odom, their head coach that understands the madness. He was the head man at UMBC when, of course, they knocked off Virginia, the first ever 16 seed to upset a one back in 2018. My Cinderella pick is Drake. Donnie, months ago, I fell in love with Ben McCollum and everything he brought to Des Moines from Northwest Missouri State. A lot of his team intact, including MVC Player of the Year out of the Missouri Valley. That is Bennett Sturts. I believe in this Drake team. I believe in their style of play. Yes, it is slow. I'll describe it as selective. They are still very efficient on the offensive side of the floor, and they grind you out defensively. Nothing comes easy against Ben McCollum's Bulldog. So if you would have asked me 2 months ago, who's your Cinderella team? Drake. A month ago, Drake. After they won the MVC for a third straight year, Drake. And then everybody started to love Drake. 6.5-point dog today against Missouri. 79, Donnie. 79% of the bets on the spread on the Bulldogs. 76% of the money on Drake. Is it foolish of me to now be spooked by my own Cinderella pick that I have been in love with for the last 3-4 months in this college basketball season just because everybody is?
I don't think you should be spooked by that. It's just like who they play. Like, you're going to get a big-time tilt here out of a real efficient team right out of the gate in Missouri, which would be an epic win. And then your prize is probably going to be Texas Tech, one of my favorite teams throughout this entire tournament. So you want to talk about they are a true Cinderella. You knock down Missouri and Texas Tech. I don't even know if I can call you Cinderella. I'm just going to call you a damn good basketball team at that point. Right. Like, that was unbelievable, the thought process. So I'm interested to see how they come out, because game number one is going to tell you a lot. Can we be efficient as we need to be against a team that's really efficient and more talented from a bigger conference? They're not going to catch up on anybody this year. If you knock off Missouri, you are going to have Texas Tech's eyes right away saying, hey, we can't do the same thing. Say, oh, we expected to get Missouri here as Texas Tech. Now we got Drake. Ooh, that's an easy one here. You're not going to get that here. If Drake is going to be a Cinderella, my goodness, they are really going to have to earn it.
7:35 p.m. tonight in Wichita, Kansas. There are going to be many fans from Des Moines that have made the trip, and, of course, from Columbia, Missouri as well. All right, a special on the FanDuel Sportsbook, or just one that Donnie wants to combine. What is this, the pick seven? That's a joke from our producer, Joe Friezo. Combining, but as you can, a parlay for teams to make a deep run in the big dance. DRS, who are you targeting?
Yeah, you can parlay these, you can get down, but if you're just looking for a plus money on each side, I focused on these teams weeks ago, and I got to somehow put some money behind what I'm talking about, and that's Iowa State University and Texas Tech University, both to make it into the Elite Eight. You say, well, Donnie, you're talking about them a couple weeks ago just to take them to win the national championship. The number one seeds are so darn strong in this tournament where it's like, yes, that's a great price, but let's be realistic about some things and how you're going to be able to cut down the nets. Like, I'm not going to get a 25-1 price like I did on Sonogo and the UConn boys absolutely ripping through. It's like, oh my goodness, where did you get that price point? It was fantastic a day before the tournament. I want to make some money in this tournament. I think it makes some sense. These two teams are good enough to get to the Elite Eight, and then you meet up against the big boys, the heavyweights, and the hammers. And whatever they do at that point is all positive, because why? You already cashed that ticket. It's not winning the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four. Just get me to the Elite Eight. I think both of these teams have a great opportunity and clear pathways to do that. I'll take them.
The West Regional Final, that would be for Texas Tech, maybe against the one seed in Florida. The South Regional Final for Iowa State. The very first bet I made in this college basketball season on opening night, November 4th. Iowa State at a 35-1 number. That's actually probably too long. Whatever the number was on the Cyclones to reach the Final Four. I still feel very, very good about it, but some of the injuries, namely to Keyshawn Gilbert, have me a little bit spooked. Iowa State still part of that criteria, Donnie, we talked about. Top 25 offensive efficiency, top 25 defensive efficiency, and ranked in the top 12 of the Week 6 AP poll. My special that you can combine together on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Duke to reach the Final Four. I do believe the Blue Devils will be in San Antonio. And I think Michigan State is an Elite Eight team. In fact, in a few brackets, I think MSU pulls off the upset over Auburn. I really believe in this Spartan side led by Tom Izzo. I think Michigan State's bottom half of the South region in what could be that Sweet 16 affair, DRS, against Iowa State sets up well for Michigan State. The question has been, oh, what if MSU doesn't shoot well? Oh, they're not a great three-point shooting team. What if they go cold? It's not like they have been great up until February and all of a sudden they have started missing shots. It has been the story for the Spartans all year long. And I think Michigan State is an Elite Eight team. Duke in the Final Four as well. All right, DRS, your final minute before we send you off to the money line, before we get ready for the round of 64, tipping in just about an hour and a half. What is your best round of 64 bet for this Thursday?
You know, we're not laying the points when we're giving out best bets here in the tournament. Take the points and pray. I don't think we have to pray all that much today, unless you're playing to Boogie Flan to having a big-time game. Arkansas and Kansas, I think, will be spectacular. Two really good coaches, two really good programs coming in. I just think Arkansas playing better down the stretch. Kansas has been a disappointment. And the best part about this, I don't even have to win the game outright to win my bet, getting 5.5 points with the Arkansas Razorbacks. I think they'll keep it close. I think it'll be a hard-fought game, a legitimate chance for Arkansas to pull up the upset. Absolutely. In my bracket, I actually have Arkansas winning this. But just keep me within 5 points or less, which I think they can do, in a hard-fought victory. Give me Arkansas today. Let's go.
Yeah, DRS, I love the look. Boogie Flan being back for the first time since mid-January is key for Cal and Arkansas. I'll give you my best bet on the other side of the break for the round of 64. But take the points and pray. We're going to be praying the Bulldogs of Yale can defend the offensive glass. DRS, enjoy, my friend. Yeah. We'll talk tomorrow here on the Early Line.
Pray that technology
works. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are just over an hour away from the start in full of the 2025 Big Dance, the men's NCAA tournament. It is round of 64 Thursday, and we get you ready for everything. All 16 games that you will see over the next 13 or so consecutive hours of March Madness college basketball action, we have previewed for you. We have shown you the odds. We have broken down the game. We have maybe even given you a side we agree with. We have painted the path through a madness and through a bracket, region by region by region by region. We have given you the trends, the storylines, the quality of teams in the field of 68, now whittled down to only 64. And now your goal is to hit some bets, is to hope that your bracket stays intact, but really to just enjoy. Because these days are a marathon. They are 13 hours, and then we'll get to do it again on a Friday, and then Saturday, and then Sunday. But these days that you wait for all year long, they go by in a flash. So sit back and enjoy. Have some fun, and let's get ready for the two greatest days each and every year on the sports calendar. Let's also get you ready for a round of 64 best bet. DRS is back in the Hogs. Woo pig suey. John Calipari and Arkansas tonight in a big matchup against Kansas, that game in Providence. The Razorbacks a 4.5-point dog now. He likes them getting 5.5 where that number opened up. I will also go with an underdog. 10 of the last 14 NCAA tournaments, we have seen a 13 seed upset a 4 outright in the first round. That includes 2024 when the Yale Bulldogs, the champions out of the Ivy League as a 13 seed, faced off against a 4 seed hailing from the SEC. Then it was Auburn. Yale won outright. This year, Yale is once again the champions of the Ivy, a 13 seed facing off a 4 seed hailing from the Southeastern Conference. That is Texas A&M. I'm very skeptical of this Aggies team. When you look at the numbers, there is nothing that A&M does all that well offensively, except rebound the crap out of the basketball. They are ferocious, they are tenacious, and they attack the offensive glass. They are the best offensive rebounding team in college hoops. So that is priority number one for James Jones and his Yale team today. But Yale's really good at defending the glass as well. Yale has 3 all-Ivy League players, and Nick Townsend in the front court, Bez Embang in the back court, and maybe a guy you remember from last year's stunning upset over the Tigers, John Poulakidas, who can shoot the three with the best of them. Yale will let you take the three. A&M doesn't care. They don't really like to shoot it. Nor, when they do hoist from deep, do they do so all that well. Yale does not necessarily rely on the three-point shot, but at 38.5%, the Yale Bulldogs are the 9th-best three-point shooting team in the country. And often, in these games, when you are trying to make history, when you are trying to start your Cinderella run, when you are trying to spoil and play upset, you do so with the three ball being the great equalizer. Give me Yale plus 7.5 to keep things close today against Texas A&M. That is my opening round of 64 Thursday best bet. But believe me, we've got a lot on the docket. We have many tickets to break down for you. And we will do that here, by the way, on Sports Grid, starting at noon Eastern time. Our Bracket Central coverage, myself and the coach, James Young, JY, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time for the early window of games as our first full day in the round of 64 truly does begin. Let's talk a couple of other things before we get out of here. Maybe even some fun that you can have on the FanDuel Sportsbook. How about betting the team nicknames to win an NCAA tournament? Yeah, we like to have a little fun here, courtesy of our Canadian friends up from the Great White North. If you want a team that is a cat, I believe that includes the Tigers as well, a 2-to-1 price. Mythology, Devils, a +280 number. That's also Duke's price to win a national championship as the Blue Devils. If we had Central Connecticut, that might be a little bit better. A reptile, the Gators, +320. People, Fighters, +650. Historical moment, miscellaneous, at 12-to-1. My producer, Joe Friso, did we get clarification on weather at 31-to-1? Because the Red Storm would certainly be weather, and that's a pretty good price. Or is it mythology, a storm brewing out of the Big Apple, led by Rick Pitino? We are going to have a great time. It's all the fun that you can have in the NCAA tournament. We will recap everything from our opening Thursday in the round of 64 on a Friday here on the Early Line. But Sports Grid's Bracket Central in the Big Dance starts at noon Eastern time here on the Spiz Grizz Network. Join us next.